News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk. I want to thank our guest this morning. She's a Republican candidate for the 15th District. That is the seat that is currently held by John Chimkus. Mary Miller, good morning. How are you, ma'am? I've got a lot of questions, but I couldn't help. I was reading a small story this morning about an interviewer with Joe Biden. And what I find interesting here is that the reporter asks, why should people who feel they're better off today under the Trump administration vote for you? And he says, well, if they think that, they probably shouldn't. The poll fact is, though, 56% of Americans feel they are better off because of the economy. It's something you and I are going to be talking about in a couple of moments. 54% say they're economically off better today under the administration. So, Mary, tough time campaigning?
Not too bad. I'm pretty busy moving around the district. I'm looking for every opportunity. I do a lot of Zoom calls, and I've had several trips back and forth to D.C. And I did actually get back about 2 weeks ago. I had the privilege and the honor of being invited to the Oval Office and meeting President Trump.
Well, that had to be something different from a girl from Illinois then, wasn't it?
It was, and actually there were eight other candidates there, and Leader McCarthy and Vice President Pence was also there, and they assured us that this is unprecedented for a president to invest so much time in the candidates. And so there were nine of us there, but he ended up focusing the most, he talked to us about the Supreme Court nominee, and which he was getting ready to announce a few days later. But the other thing, he was very interested in Illinois, and he wanted to know if we thought Illinois was still in play. And he very much cares about us here.
All right, I've got a number of questions on policy I want to hit you with. What we've been doing this is a thematic here. You take COVID filters, so much of what we see, that's a filter that goes over everything and everything in a perspective. But the fact is there were a lot of issues this country faced and were big in some cases as we start off with the 2016 election. Immigration, and matter of fact, Illinois has been talked about recently about illegal immigration in Illinois, making some national news today. So what about immigration, and more specifically illegal immigration, on word that there's another caravan heading from Central America? We question the timing on that. So your stance, immigration, and specifically illegal immigration in the state of Illinois.
Yes, well, I do support legal immigration, and I value all the hardworking immigrants that are here in Illinois and throughout our country. They have definitely added a lot of value to our economy and culture. And actually, one of my amazing son-in-laws is an immigrant, and he had to apply two times to come here to get a student visa. He's a surgeon today, but he also doesn't appreciate illegal immigration. So at the same time, I am firmly opposed to illegal immigration, and I will work hard to secure our borders to keep us safe and, whatever we need to do to secure our borders, whether it's increasing our border patrol agents, using greater technology things such as motion sensors or unmanned aerial vehicles, putting up physical barriers. I will fight to get this done, and I appreciate that President Trump has made this a campaign promise and a priority, and he's tried very hard to secure our borders. I tell people, if you don't have borders and you don't have laws, you are not a country.
We talked earlier about the interview about this figure in polling, that 54% of America believe they're better off economically today than they were under another Democratic administration. We talked about that just a couple of moments ago. But the fact is, Illinois never really caught up to the other states in recovery from 2008. And when you talk about the economy and your district, in particular the southernmost areas, what needs to be done for those counties specifically? And we're talking about some of the lowest income counties in the entire state.
Yes, and I've traveled there, and it is discouraging. But I'm excited about the potential we have. I do know I've been in contact with Senator Dale Fowler. Senator Dale Fowler has started the port project in Cairo, which I believe has exciting potential to create a hub for manufacturing in our area. So economic opportunity is my highest priority. Whatever I can do to support production, to support what we already have, manufacturing and agricultural bases, and then make it less cumbersome for businesses to grow by removing regulations, which there again, President Trump has been amazing. When he first, began his presidency, he wanted to he wanted for every new regulation they were going to impose, he wanted to eliminate two. And I read the other day that for every new regulation, they've removed 22. And whatever it is, he has been very successful in, number one, seeking to reduce our taxes and deregulate so that it's easier for us to grow our businesses.
Gun rights. And also, go ahead.
Ensuring better trade agreements, which he's, been pursuing that. And then looking for opportunity zones for our rural areas and using programs such as the Rural Business Investment Program. I think that those are great sources to provide capital to community businesses. And I tell people all the time that we have all the ingredients for success here. We're blessed with a variety of abundant natural resources, and we've got great location in addition to the rail and infrastructure that's uniquely placed in our district.
Mary Miller's joining us this morning. Here's the next question. Gun rights, in particular, important. Now, and people, I notice quite often I hear this in semantics when I ask this question, that people suddenly shift it to hunting. It's not the reason why the Second Amendment exists. Tyranny is the reason why it's included, not being able to hunt wild turkey. Gun rights, and you hear one of the vice presidential candidate at one point talking about mandatory gun buybacks. Well, if it's a gun buyback, it's not mandatory, but the word mandatory gets a lot of people's attention. Gun rights and assault weapons, they're clearly going to be on the discussion when it comes in these final days on the presidential election. Where does this congressional candidate stand, Mary Miller?
Well, they've clearly been a focus of the Democrats, and we don't have to surmise what they want to do. We can just take them at face value, the words coming out of their very mouths. And I am a very strong Second Amendment supporter. It is true that our family enjoys shooting and hunting together as a family activity, but I agree that our Second Amendment rights are not about hunting. It's about ensuring that each individual, if they want to, can have the right to defend themselves and their families. And I definitely will oppose any legislation that requires gun owners to give up their firearms. I did hear yesterday that my opponent is on a different side of the issue with me, and I would oppose anything Nancy Pelosi or anyone that tries to take away our gun rights or even diminish them. And that's why I'm proud to be endorsed by the NRA.
Social justice, police reform is also something that's taking up a lot of oxygen on a lot of different fronts, whether it's in Washington, D.C., or a basketball or baseball court. Should there be police reform? Should there be social justice elements that we should be looking at? Of course, the term very often uses systematic racism. What should be done in Washington to address this issue, Mary?
Well, we can always look for ways to make things better. And I'm a builder. I'm for solutions. But a lot of this chatter that you're talking about, the issues you brought up, they're all about dismantling our entire country and trashing us, doing away with our history. It's true that we're not perfect, but they're comparing us to some utopian country that has never existed nor ever will exist. The fact is that we're the greatest country that ever was. We have done more for individual freedom and economic prosperity, not just here in our country, but throughout the world. And I have friends around the world that are very concerned that if Biden and Harris gets in, that it'll bring the rest of the world down with us. And so back to police officers, I am highly opposed to defunding the police. It's a ridiculous idea. In our district, the 15th district, we have fantastic law enforcement officers that keep us safe. And I say, God bless our veterans and the police officers who put their lives on the line every day. So I am for building up our police departments and supporting them.
All right, the ACA, even now being talked about the Supreme Court yesterday, where do the responsibilities begin and end for federal government when it comes to health care? There are a lot of issues here involved, single-person pay, and one of the big words that's being batted back and forth now, pre-existing conditions. So where do the federal government's responsibilities begin and end, Mary?
Well, I think the federal government should make sure that families have access to high quality health care at affordable prices. And I do want to tell the people listening here that I'm a small business owner and a mom. I've had children with pre-existing conditions, and I understand the challenges and sometimes the stresses of trying to get quality health care that you can afford. I really do care about this, and there are a lot of other people in D.C. that care. I think it would help for us to increase transparency, competition, innovation, and expand market choices. Also, I think the health savings accounts are great ideas. So I think we should expand and promote the use of those in a greater way, and it will give families greater control in their health care.
National debt hit $27 trillion. They're now saying the national debt is 102% of the yearly gross domestic product. Something has to be done about the debt. How is it done?
I don't know exactly, but I agree. I have said for years that it's a national security issue, and we cannot even comprehend probably $3 trillion, much less what it's ballooned to. And we're just going to have to quit passing these omnibus spending bills, and we're going to have to rein it in because talk about abusing future generations is what we're leaving them. So we need to have transparency.
All right.
I think that's the first thing. You cannot deal with the problem till you see where the problem is.
All right. We talked about a lot of these items, immigration and economy and gun rights and social justice and the Affordable Care Act and the debt. And, you talked about this big difference between what we're facing when it comes to the presidential nominees. Is this the most important election of our lifetime? Truly, without sophistry, is this the most important election of our lifetime? And if so, why?
Oh, definitely. This is a pivotal point for our country. And I think the platforms between the Democrats and the Republicans are completely polar. I believe that the Democrat Party has been taken over by far left socialists. And there again, we can just use what they're saying themselves to know what they plan for our country. In comparison, we now have a true patriot in office, President Trump. He loves our country. He's a fighter. I can't remember the last time we've had a president that laid out his plans for his presidency and then has sought to fulfill his campaign promises. And I could just zoom off the biggest list of what he's done. I mean, he's the most pro-life president we've ever had. He's defending our First and Second Amendment rights. He laid out who his potential nominees were for the Supreme Court. I believe he's named 300 federal judges so far. He's allowed us to become energy independent, which that in itself is amazing. So instead of sending billions of dollars to the Middle East to countries that hate us and want to destroy us, we're actually you know, leaving it here and promoting thriving economies and good job creation here. He's renegotiated trade agreements. He's getting us out of endless wars. He's built up our military. I mean, I could just go on and on. There's so many great things that he's accomplished. And I think that if he had another 4 years, that he could put it to another level and really accomplish a lot.
How long is too long to be in Washington, D.C.?
Well, oh my, I am so for term limits. I think it's a huge problem in D.C. and in the state of Illinois. Nancy Pelosi's been there for 33 years. I read that Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein from California, will be 92 when her term is up. And I cannot think of the right bad adjective to describe that. It is just too long. And I believe our founding fathers intended for the Congress to be full of citizen legislators that are a diverse representation of the people in the areas in our country, and that they should take a turn serving in D.C. and then come home, come back to their business, farm, and family, and let someone else have a turn.
All right. I've got a couple of things I want to try to slide in, and we're running out of time, so we've got to go at this quickly. COVID-19, some counties in the warning list now in your district, or what you propose to be your district, what wasn't done, what should have been done. The COVID-19 response is going to be a major topic going forward for not only the presidential race, but the entire Republican Party. So what do you think, COVID-19 in your district, what needs to be done, what should have been done that wasn't?
Yeah, well, first of all, I do take this COVID pandemic seriously. And I am proud of the way our communities have come together to stay safe and support local businesses at the same time. But I'm strongly opposed to mandatory lockdowns, which have been unilaterally imposed by Governor Pritzker. And I don't believe our region should be treated the same as urban areas. Oakland, where I live, which we have our natural social distancing here. I think our population's 800. It should be treated differently from the Loop because we are different. And the governor was encouraged to do a county-by-county approach, and I think it would help him to listen to advice from a broader range of what he calls his experts. On a national level, though, I do think we should focus on solutions through therapeutics, research, vaccines, and I got from, I guess, after about the first month of the lockdown and looking at the numbers, I thought we should really, really open everything up and focus on protecting the vulnerable. I think that we should get back to work and get back to schools and get back to playing football. And I think that there's a corresponding terrible consequences, especially to the young people, for closing everything down.
All right, Mary, we're going to close up in the final question of the day in summation as well. Why you? And specifically looking questions from some of our listeners on my text line while we were speaking just a moment ago. What do you need to do for your district? What is needed in your district? What are your ideas, your specific ideas intrinsic to you to helping your district?
Okay, well, why me? I'm going to answer that first. Is because I represent this district. I'm a small business owner, I'm a farmer, and the mother of seven. I have lived the life that reflects the values of our district. And it's true, I don't have a record yet, but I've always told my kids to don't listen to what a politician says, look at what they do. And I can tell you that I will be focused on the values of our district, which is family, faith, and job opportunities. So my top priority is economic opportunities for this district. Six of my seven children live here with our grandchildren, and we were having Sunday dinner a few years ago, and they started talking about leaving, joining the exodus. And, you know, I'm sure many of my listeners have had children and siblings and neighbors that are leaving Illinois. So until we have a vibrant, growing economy and can offer good paying jobs here, we're going to continue the exodus out of this area. So economic opportunities is my number one priority.
All right. What about an idea? What idea do you have to address this?
Well, I think I'm excited about Senator Dale Fowler's project in the down in Cairo, and then also bringing using opportunity zones to bring economic opportunities here. I also am working closely with the Illinois representatives and senators. I think it will really help that I'm connected well with the people here in Illinois that want to be reformers and turn Illinois around.